I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I'm not going to bring a message. I'm going to bring an exhortation to encourage, I trust, our young people and all of our people as we gather around this thought that youth work is every Christian's work. Youth work is every Christian's work. All of us ought to be doing all we can to encourage this generation coming on. And so much the more, the Bible says, as we see the day approaching, and the day is approaching. I want you to look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, just to the language used by the Apostle Paul as he's speaking to Timothy. Of course, remember, Paul is writing from prison, and this is the last thing he will pen. And so it's very personal. It's a personal letter to Timothy. We're reading his mail, as a matter of fact. Though it is all to Timothy, it all applies to us. And the Bible says in chapter 1, begin with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. If you're in the habit of marking things, I want you to mark that expression, my dearly beloved son. And then if you'll turn back to the book of 1 Timothy, the Bible says in chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. My own son in the faith. Years ago, I heard people talk about Paul, the ministry of Paul, the ministry of Timothy. And most of those people that I listened to back then were men that I considered to be my Pauls, and I was their Timothy. And they said when they were speaking, the day will come when you become a Paul, and you'll have your own Timothys. Well, I'm grateful that there are so many Timothys whose lives I have had opportunity to share and try to encourage. But I fear I haven't been the Paul I should have been to the fullest extent. But I am grateful to God that God raised up this church and gave us a concern and a burden to train young people, not only here in this local assembly, but also to do the work of God throughout the world. And we now have 3,500 of them who've come through here on their way to somewhere. Just as our young friends were speaking a moment ago, God's speaking to them, and now they're on their way to Africa. And other young people God has dealt with in this youth congress. And the Lord has encouraged them to give him their lives. And that's what it's all about. I want to show you something about Paul's son Timothy, if you'll turn back with me to the book of Acts just for a moment. Paul is on his missionary journey, and of course, everything gets rough. He tells in this final word in Timothy, if you'll pardon me just a moment as I read the verses while you're turning back to Acts chapter 16. When Paul was writing here, he said to Timothy in his last testimony in the third chapter, he talks about what he suffered, persecutions, in verse 11 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He's nearing the end of his ministry, and he's talking about what happened to him at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And this portion of Scripture deals with those events in the life of the Apostle Paul when he was having his hardest time being challenged in his missionary work. And the Bible says he was stoned in Lystra and left for dead. And then if you notice carefully when you begin the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. If you could highlight the places where you had the worst time in life, Paul highlighted these places in Antioch, in Iconium, and in Lystra. But here God gave him one of his greatest rewards. He gave him this young man as a convert. This is where Timothy came to Christ and became Paul's traveling companion and, as Paul says, my dearly beloved son. And you and I ought to know that it's not easy always trying to do what God wants you to do, but it is wonderfully rewarding. And part of our reward is to be able to encourage others. I want to tell you just a little bit about that. When I was a young fellow, 17 years old, I was at the Oak Street Baptist Church in Maryville, Tennessee. And Ernest Condy was the pastor, and his wife was a wonderful, kind lady. And they asked me and other men who were sitting in the church about the men's meeting coming up, and they said, we'd like to have someone give a testimony. I volunteered immediately. I wasn't a preacher. I was just a 17-year-old young person who'd surrendered my life to the Lord. And when the men's meeting rolled around, Pastor Condy called on me to give my personal testimony, which I did. And the people prayed for me and encouraged me. When I finished giving the testimony and was on my way to have a seat, Mrs. Condé said to me, God is going to use you, Clarence. Just that. God is going to use you. And that's been more than 50 years ago. And I still remember it. God is going to use you. I want you to know that the words you speak in kindness and encouragement to young people and children, Paul is actually saying to Timothy, he is my child in the ministry, are noteworthy because they can last an entire lifetime. Think of it, an entire lifetime. I had a coach who was a Christian in Merrill Junior High School. Merrill Junior High School had 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. My passion was football back then, and so I lived across from Maryville High School and went to all the practices as a boy from the 3rd grade up. And so I couldn't wait to get to Maryville Junior High School and play on the high school team. As a matter of fact, I had my own neighborhood team when I was in the 5th and 6th grade. And we challenged their 7th grade and won the game on the high school football field. So it's big stuff to me, very important to me. My mother and father were battling it out. Wasn't much peace at home. And so I found a lot of refuge in all of that. And Coach Ted Wilson took a great interest in me when I got to Maryville Junior High School. And if you were in the 7th grade, you could not play on the junior high school team. But when you got to the 8th grade, you could play. And I came into the 8th grade, actually the spring of the 7th grade and the fall of the 8th grade. And Coach Wilson said to me, Clarence, if you'll work hard, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Now, our offensive team had a tailback, a fullback, a blocking back, and a wing back. That's the kind of offensive formation we ran. And everyone that started on the team was a freshman. I was an 8th grader. He said, if you'll do your best, work hard, stay after practice, and do everything you can to work as hard as you can work to perfect a certain block, which is illegal now, it was called a crab block. As a wing back, you play on the end of the team, the line, and you have a in sweep, and you pretend like you're going out, and then you come back on all fours and block the defensive end. He literally falls over you with that block. You can't do it now. Too many knees injured, and football doesn't allow it. But he said, if you'll just work hard, you can be a starting player on our team. Now, you can't imagine how encouraging that was to me. I worked hard, and sure enough, I started. And that team, I was the only 8th grader playing on the 9th grade team, and we won every game and were never scored on. And in every game, the coach made time to come over and put his arm around me, and Coach Wilson told me how great a job we'd done. Now, that's an eighth grade kid, but I'm still carrying that memory all my life. When God called me to preach, I met a man by the name of Bob Norman. And Bob Norman was the pastor of the Belmont Heights Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, a man greatly admired. I went to a special evangelism conference at that church. It was packed and jammed. And he met me in a hallway, never had met me, and took me under his arm and asked me to go into his study. And I went into a study with him. I was fascinated at all of his books. And he reached up to his shelf and pulled down one of Frank Borum's books, A Fistful of Stars. Borum was the last student that Charles Spurgeon interviewed in London, England, at the Pastor's College. He became a famous preacher in New Zealand and wrote many books, I think 57 in total. And he said, here's someone you need to know. I want you to have this book. Wrote a special note in it. I still have it. And he said, I want to encourage you to read the great authors. He and I became friends, but he took the time to encourage me, to speak to me and encourage me. I admired many preachers when I got saved and started serving the Lord. My pastor, Dillard Hagin, was most admired. And when Brother Hagin knew that God called me to preach, he wanted to help me. I came into his study one day, and I was talking about sermons and what was I going to preach. And he said, all these are sermon books. And he pointed to the shelves. He said, now you can take some of them and read them if you wish. And I remember taking messages by L.R. Scarborough on Prepare to Meet Thy God and some others. Put them all under my arm and started out. And you've heard me say this many times. I remember walking right to the door, and he was commending me for picking out the best books. And he said to me, but let me tell you something before you go with these books. If you will learn to preach the Bible, become a student of the Bible, and speak the Bible, use illustrations from the Bible, become a Bible preacher, you'll never run out of anything to preach. Now, I was just 18 years old, but his words stayed with me a lifetime. I'm trying to encourage you. Dr. Raymond Smith was a pastor in our county, and he was what we call an educated preacher. He'd been to Moody Bible Institute, and he preached, and when he preached, you knew he had something to say. Dr. Smith called me one day, and he said, I want to help you. I want to help you build a library, because if you're going to be the preacher God wants you to be, you need to build a library. I want you to come to my library. And I came to his library. I was fascinated, the big room and all the books. He had told me before I came, I'm going to sell you any of my books you want. I'm not going to give them to you, but you have to pay $1 a piece for them. I thought, this is the best buy anybody ever had in their life. So Evelyn and I, if I could tell you how we worked hard at it, we worked as hard as we could get to scrape up every dollar we could get, and she was kind enough to go along with all of this to buy books. And I think we found $73. We had them all in $1 bills. And I remember walking up to Dr. Smith's library. It was on the second floor of the church when he was pastoring there at the Broadway Baptist Church in Maryville. Walk into that room, and he said, now pick anything you want. I said, these big books or commentaries? He said, anything you want. That'll be a dollar. That'll be a dollar. That'll be a dollar. And I remember when I came down to my last dollar, and I'd taken boxes of books to the car, and he said again, I want you to build a great library. This will be your tools for the ministry. I was just a kid, and I want you to know, that has stayed with me all of my life. I was in a retreat, and Vance Havner was our guest speaker. I don't know if any of you ever heard or heard of Vance Havner. I know you've heard of him, read some of his things, some of you. And I managed to get Vance Havner to give me his attention and to walk with him through the woods at the pastor's retreat up at Camp Carson. I just enjoyed being with him and listening to him. I told him how much I admired hearing him. And he had a righteous distraction, he called it. He listened to birds. He could tell you every bird in the eastern United States, in this section, in the Carolinas and Tennessee, he could identify them by their color and their sound. I never saw anything like it. It was so fascinating to me. And I said, Dr. Havner, is there any advice you could give me? He said, yes, I can give you this advice. I want you to make a habit of reading great biography. And I'm going to tell you the two to start with. I want you to read, and I can hear him now saying this, I want you to read the life story of D.L. Moody, written by Richard Ellsworth Day. And I want you to read the life story of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, written by Richard Ellsworth Day. He said, when you're reading those, you'll think you're living in the days of the apostles. Those men were so greatly used of God. And Richard Ellsworth Day recorded all of that in the biographies of those men. In The Shadow of the Broad Brim for Spurgeon and Bush Aglow, D.L. Moody. I want you to know I found those and I read them and they set my heart on fire. He encouraged me. He encouraged me. Oh, I thank God for that. I thank God for it. I met J.R. Faulkner. And J.R. Faulkner was the associate pastor of Dr. Robertson Highland Park Baptist Church in Tennessee Temple Schools for 40 years. And I, sort of a little big shot preacher, you know, I'd pastored 7.5 years before I went to Tennessee Temple to go to seminary after finishing college at the University of Tennessee. So I'd had some experience that those college students didn't have. And Dr. Robertson had asked me to serve to help him there in the church while I was in seminary. And that turned into some other things and some other things. So finally, when he said one day, I haven't had an assistant pastor in 25 years. I want you to be an assistant pastor here. And Dr. Faulkner pulled me aside. And he had 3 small books in his hand. And he said, now, Clarence, you're talented and gifted. And Dr. Robertson likes you. And he's going to have you speak. I think often he'll call on you for things. It's just his way. But your grammar needs great improvement. Here are some grammar books. I want you to read every word in these books, and I want to see your grammar improve. I thanked him. I thanked him, and I've worked on it all these years. Because of that, I'm just telling you, God will use you, if you'll let him use you, to encourage some people, young people, on their way. And when you impart something to them when they're young, that's why I like to see them coming in and greet them, and they greet me, and we talk to one another. I tell them what they're doing looks great and all that kind of thing, because I know how much words can mean. I'm telling you that youth work is every Christian's work. I mean by that, it's every Christian's job. Go out of your way to encourage them. Let me give you a Bible verse. Here it is. Mark it, please. It's in the book of Proverbs. And try never to forget it. The Word of God says in Proverbs 25 and 11. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. He compares it, a word he compares to gold and silver. Look, please, you have the possibility and the potential of giving out something better than gold and silver by giving encouraging words. Watch your tongue, watch your mouth. Encourage them. Youth work is every Christian's work. I must show you this. We go back to the book of 2 Timothy. We come to the end. The old man, the aged Paul, is going out. He'll go out into a Roman courtyard and have his head severed from his shoulders. And he's writing last things. He says in chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me. but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. He didn't want to leave this world hateful and hating people and mad at them with a heart of unforgiveness. He just said, the Lord reward them according to their work. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And when he gets to the last word he pins, look at it, please, in verse 22. He says to Timothy, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be to you. Amen. I remember the last visit I had with my father before he died. I was just a boy. I walked from Maryville to Alcoa, where he was in a rest home. My mother said, if you're going to see your daddy, you better go today. He's dying. My mother and father were divorced, and my daddy was there in a home. They were taking care of him. I remember standing beside his bed. He's speaking to me, short of breath. I remember his last words, which I choose not to say right now. Paul and Timothy had been traveling companions. This is his father in the ministry. And the last thing he says to his son, look at it. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. I want to tell all of you, not just young people, but all people, take care of your spirit. Take care of your spirit. The Bible says of Joseph in the 39th chapter of Genesis, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Paul said to Timothy, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. May God give me the words I need right now. From the beginning to this moment, and I hope there's lots more to do, but from the beginning to this moment, if I could keep my spirit right in my own communion with Christ, I can handle everything else. But if my spirit is not right, the least little thing throws me off. The least little thing. And I want to be an instrument in God's hands. And I know you want to be an instrument in God's hands. Be one. Don't be self-consumed. Don't just walk into the place of worship, sit down and see what you can get for yourself. On your way to worship God, do all you can to encourage others. Help them all you can. You'll be richer because of it. And they'll be blessed by it. I say to you, youth work, working with young people, is every Christian's work. May God help us to engage in it and do our best. Would you bow with me in prayer?